Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 372. And apparently, Mike was born ready. So, there you go. So, lots of news to talk about. So, we're going to, because I don't think any of us read too much from last week. There wasn't a whole lot. So, good thing we have lots of stuff to talk about. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Spencer,
Mike,
Dave.
Josh isn't all that excited. Sorry about that. Boy, that was a very unenthusiastic Josh.
I mean, I just had to watch you play backgammon for 10 minutes, so.
It wasn't 10 minutes.
My excitement is kind of sapped.
It's probably about 3 minutes, but okay. I'm sorry I sapped your excitement.
No, it was more than 3 minutes. It went through multiple songs.
No, I only played one, Bark at the Moon. That was the only Ozzy song I played.
No, there was three.
Was there?
You were pretty into it.
I was into it, yes. Okay. You were off conversing.
You won, and then you flipped off your phone.
Well, yeah, that's because I won. It was a comeback victory at the last second on the last roll. So,
first you probably lost because the nurses were like, "Hurry up, you're finish this game."
Okay, fine, man.
Come eat your pudding.
Man.
Golden Girls is on.
No, I don't think you're going to get real far mocking Golden Girls, though. Everybody seems to love Golden Girls. I'm not a huge fan, but
not
I know like they announced Golden Girls Pops and people lost their minds. So I don't know. Late last week, Bleeding Cool reported that Tom King had been fired from Batman and wouldn't be ending his run and all sorts of stuff. And there was all sorts of talk and people asking questions. And I'm like, that just doesn't seem right. Why you would do that. I think it was to Adam I was messaging. I'm like, no, they're probably going to let him finish it in a different book just so they can free up Batman for other things. And that's exactly what happened. Tom King is going to be finishing his Batman story in a book called Batman Catwoman. Basically it leaked to Bleeding Cool, so they were kind of forced to reveal everything that I don't think they were quite ready to do. It seemed to me like this was going to be a San Diego type announcement. So, and you know, people are, oh, who's taking over Batman? Well, it's not happening till January, so there's plenty of time for this. Basically, it's at the end of City of Bane, which ends in issue 85. There they're going to move his story to another book.
This cover is fantastic.
That's House of Secrets 92. Yeah.
I've never read it.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's Louise Simonson. Well, she wasn't Simonson back then. She was the model for that drawing.
Oh, I was going to say, I think it's Wrightson.
No. He drew it, but he modeled her after her. I think it was Louise Jones at the time. Yeah.
Wow.
That's classic.
Interesting.
Yes. Well, but your history portion in the new previews is a House of Secrets 92 facsimile edition. That is an absolutely. That's like pre-Swamp Thing, Swamp Thing. good stuff. Speaking of Swamp Thing. Friday, that comes on the DC app. Getting back to Tom King. So basically, come January, someone else will be taking over Batman, and he'll be doing a Batman Catwoman book to finish up his run. So relax, everybody who lost their minds.
Is this going to affect Catwoman at all? Ongoing?
Possibly. Yeah. That'd be okay with me. It's not doing that great. The
book's good, though.
Is it? Yeah, it's just not selling great. It started off gangbusters and then really dropped quite quickly.
See, the one problem I have with that, though, is that with it being a Batman and Catwoman book, you kind of have a sense on how his Batman part of the story might end up going.
Right.
Because it seems like they're probably going to be back together.
So, we did have a podcast question about this, so let me jump to that real quick. Okay, James asks, there's a Bleeding Cool did a survey, and he asks, thoughts on these names for Batman, anybody too high on the list, too low? And I will give you the list in order that Bleeding Cool has them ranked.
Have you read this list yet?
Yeah. Let's see if I can get to load, sorry, got to get through all the pop-ups. Number one, they have Tom Taylor, a 2-to-1 favorite, and I agree with that. I think that would be a really slick move, especially because everybody confuses them. So it would be like he didn't even leave. So, but can I have the iPhone charger cord? It's that big, long, braided one. Thank you. He's done a couple of the annuals, and I think he did that Alfred annual that I thought was fantastic. So I think he would fit in quite nicely. After that, James Tynion, who had that big run on Detective, and I think he's a very logical choice. Tomasi, I don't think so. Why would you move him from Detective to Batman? That doesn't really make sense.
I would do both.
No, no. Because, no. Just no. Joel Jones, that's certainly a possibility.
Not unless she was leaving Catwoman.
Right.
Because I don't think she's going to do both.
No. Tim Seeley. He did...
I like Tim Seeley. Yeah. I don't know if I could see him on the main Batman book, though. Yeah.
Now we start getting a little out there. Kelly Sue, DeConnick? I don't think so. Josh Williamson? Nah, he's done okay, but... David F. Walker? That I don't know.
Yeah, that, I don't think that one would work.
Brian Hill? Sorry, it's starting to jump around, you know, because the ads are popping up. Scott Snyder? No, I think he's pretty much done. Bendis at 25-1. God, no. No. People are saying maybe he takes over at 100, but I'm just, no.
He would do something immediately to Robin to mess it up.
I don't know. I'm just not a Bendis fan. I don't, he hasn't helped Superman
sales. I could see
Superman
Bendis being on a detective book.
Yeah.
I could not see him being on the Batman book.
Yeah. So, no, not on that.
I can see him being on, like, a Batman and Robin book.
Yeah.
Where you have, it's more about, like, that dynamic between the two of them.
So, then after that, we get Matt Fraction, no. Warren Ellis, no. Brian Azzarello, no. I mean, that would be interesting. Mark Russell, yes. I would love that.
Wow. On the main Batman book?
I would love that. It's not going to happen, but I would love either. That.
But you don't know what he would do.
But I feel like him being on the main Batman book, he'd be forced to write.
Yeah, he wouldn't be special. Yeah, no, you're right.
That's true.
I would like him to see him get some sort of big break, though.
I would like to see that too, but I'd like to see it on a book that would allow him to also be less, you know, mainstream. Like to still like have his normal voice.
Yeah.
Without having to try and like
make almost like a Zdarsky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Christopher Priest, I don't know. You guys did not like his
I did.
Deathstroke run.
I liked it.
Or the Justice League run.
Yeah,
the Justice League was bad. Deathstroke was okay.
Sean Murphy, no, I don't see that happening. I think he's enjoying playing the way he plays. Cecile Castellucci, I don't know enough about her. I know she's done Batgirl and Female Furies, but.
She also did Shade, the Changing Girl and Changing Woman, I think, which was good.
Okay. Scott Lobdell.
Off. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. And then one I really like. I really, really like this one. Rom V.
He's doing a 2 issues in Catwoman.
Yep. But that would be cool. I'd like to see that as a change of pace, but I doubt it.
I don't even know who that is. Who's that?
Rom V, These Savage Shores.
Oh, okay.
He's done some other stuff. He's been doing some fill-in stuff. You know, little bits and pieces. Dan Jurgens at 90-1, Frank Miller at 100-1. And Jeff Johns at 500-1. So, no.
You need to put Miller like 10,000.
Yeah, not going to happen, but... So. Okay. And then more news just broke that Tom King is co-writing a screenplay with Ava DuVernay for The New Gods. Oh. So that's what he's been sneaking out to Hollywood to do. And he just mentioned that he's on his way to Europe for something. Or overseas, I'm sorry. Overseas. So I wonder if it has something to do with that.
So what comes out first, New Gods or Eternals?
Oh, we'll find out. Yeah,
Battle
I don't know.
Of the Kirby's.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
It'd be neat if they came out at the same time.
Yeah. And the Jack fans would be happy. So I think that's all the Tom King news. I can think of, yeah. Might as well keep going with the questions. No. Okay. Lord Retail wants to hear me talk about Doomsday Clock 10, but we will talk about that next week.
What are these battle damage covers?
Just the logos are, like, smashed.
Oh, okay.
That's all. Like, the bad guys are destroying the logos.
That's less exciting, though.
I'm sorry. I can damage your copy if you like. Is that what you like? I'll rip every one of your books.
How's this different?
Well, that isn't, but some of the others.
I mean,
but Doomsday Clock 10 was fantastic. So please read and enjoy. I'm going to have to read it again and take notes. So, Mr. Ludwig asked, is IDW... Oh, he was asking about Sonic, about Archie doing Sonic.
Speaking of Archie, did any of you watch that, the live Archie Bunker? Or
no,
all the
I did not.
I actually watched it. It was good.
It was,
yeah.
It was good. It was really interesting.
When I first saw an ad for it, I was like sitting there in the room, I was like, oh, what the hell is this?
Did you watch the Jefferson one, too?
Yeah.
Is that good, too?
Yeah, I liked the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was good. And I liked that they had Marla...
that was fantastic.
What's her last name?
Gable?
Gibbs, yeah.
She appeared?
Yeah, she was in it. She was in it playing her character.
They did the first episode.
She was the maid?
They did the first episode of the Jeffersons.
Yeah, the way were, like, they were, you know, word for word, like, recreations of episodes.
Okay, yeah.
And she played herself.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I saw a couple clips of Jamie Foxx. He looked awesome. And
some of them...
He looked awesome. My only issue is that George Jefferson, like, one of the things with him is short little guy.
Short little dude, yeah.
Jamie Foxx, like...
Yeah.
Tall dude, but...
Kevin Hart would be short enough. Because he's about his stature.
Yeah.
He was.
They kind of had like the same name. Yeah, like, they're kind of all over the place and stuff. So yeah, that would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Maybe for the movie.
Yeah.
But it was good. Like the opening with Woody Harrelson, Marissa Tomei, like
they
singing the intro.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, wow, it's perfect.
It's funny because some of them were doing just straight imitations of the characters,
mm-hmm.
and other than like Wanda Sykes just put her own spin. She wasn't doing. As Louise Jefferson wasn't doing
she was
an imitation of her, and she was great.
She was. I think all of them were great. Like, you like Will Ferrell in there.
I saw that. I just saw him
great. You could really see that Tom Willis, like his mannerisms.
Did they have the neighbor in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they? Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Wow. It's on demand. It's worth. It's
Is
worth
it
watching.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it on?
ABC.
ABC.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to watch it then. Cool.
Yeah, it's worth your time. It's really good.
You said Archie.
It's okay. Okay, we got some more questions from Ibti.
Bye,
Tim.
Bye,
Tim. Who's the Sonic? That was
Archie. Somebody was asking if Archie would reprint the Sonic stuff. No, stop.
You're telling me. Okay.
So, if Archie could reprint their Sonic stuff, and I said, no, they probably don't have the license anymore since IDW's doing it, and then he asked if IDW could reprint it. I said, probably, but I don't know.
Yeah, because they've reprinted
the
old Ninja Turtles stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I don't know the legalities of the contracts and all that fun stuff. So, MT says, some questions to chew over. One, do you think the upcoming Batman Last Night on Earth will be an instant classic, or do you think it'll fail to stick the landing as a capstone to the Snyder-Capullo Batman run? I think because it's only three issues, he should be able to stick the landing.
I think because it's weird and just off separately, not to worry about anything else, I think he'll stick the landing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to worry about continuity or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because right now he's just like in his own little sandbox doing his own weird, wacky thing, and I think that'll work out.
Do Marvel's and Kingdom Come still hold up today? Follow-up, will you be... Oh, no, didn't he already ask this one?
Yeah, these are the last week questions.
Are these last week questions? Okay, hang on. I grabbed the wrong paper.
Oh, yeah, these are our last week questions.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Adam West and William Shatner.
I'm sorry. I'm like having a deja vu attack.
We already determined that William Shatner won. Depressing meal to eat. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They look very similar.
As in they're both white sheets of paper with black text?
Yes.
One day you're gonna do that with a dumb smirk in your face.
Well, I don't
want to
slide it because that then rips the carpet.
Fall through the floor.
If I slide it, it rips the carpet.
Fine, you fall through the floor. I'm laughing before I ask if you're okay.
That's fine. Okay, supposing that Robert Pattinson as the next Batman rumors are true, how do Yin's guys feel about him donning the cowl?
I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Why criticize somebody before you see him?
Yeah.
As long as he shaves the unibrow.
Think about this. every time they've cast someone, they've been criticized.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yet every time that movie's come out, the actor they've always been fine with. They were fine with Ben Affleck as Batman. They thought he was awesome. They were fine with Michael Keaton.
No.
When it came out. Right.
Oh, absolutely. But when he was cast, oh my God, no.
Now, I'm pretty sure Clooney, they didn't raise his stink about, but then he sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't his
fault. No, absolutely.
It was partially his fault.
Yeah.
He wasn't acting, his acting was not the best in that role. And he's done things since where you could see, like, watching things like, okay, he could have done, like, that dark brooding kind of thing, but people weren't up in arms, that I recall, about that.
What about Christian Bale? I don't remember how people reacted whenever.
They were fine with him.
Yeah, I think that one they may have been just indifferent about.
That was kind of like before my time to where, like,
I think Christian Bale, most average people, I don't think, realized who he was. And the people that were familiar with, like, American Psycho and whatnot were like, oh, yeah, he can play effed up. That works.
Yeah. I'm more worried that they're doing the same villains again. They keep rumoring that it's Penguin and Catwoman. They're like, do you have any other ones you can use?
Well, if they're doing that early story stuff, those are kind of the best ones to fit within that.
Especially since Ra's al Ghul has been used up on TV, and they also did him in the first Batman Begins. So, I mean, they've done Two-Face twice. You know.
Once good, once not so good.
Yeah.
They're doing Black Mask in the Birds of Prey movie.
I'd rather see a new take on the Riddler.
Yeah.
For a movie and make it the mystery movie or something like that, detective movie.
That'd be kind of cool.
Then in the same vein, do you think Kristen Wiig will be good Cheetah in the upcoming Wonder Woman? Let's see. You know, let's
we
make
don't
the
know
decision.
How, how it's going to... Yeah.
I'm excited for a trailer for
that movie.
Battle
Day.
Because we don't know anything yet if she's doing, like, makeup. It's makeup.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I hope it's not the little hands.
Oh, God.
Oh, sorry.
What did you say?
The little hands from the Saturday Night Live skit.
Oh.
She had little hands. It'll be fine. I have a big problem with the next question. Tuesday, May 28th was apparently National Hamburger Day. Which restaurant makes the best burger? Why would you have the day after Memorial Day when everybody grilled? Like, I had hamburgers Monday. Why would I have hamburgers on Tuesday?
Are we talking chain or not chain?
I guess whatever you want. Whatever. I'd assume chain, but I'd say pick whatever you want.
And I don't have an issue because Memorial Day, you're grilling all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but hamburgers are... I mean, I did hamburgers. Yeah.
I could do Five Guys anytime.
Absolutely.
Five Guys just rocks.
Yes.
I could do it anytime, but would you consider that the pinnacle of restaurant burgers?
It's my favorite.
It's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Applewood Smoke Burger Company, Highland Park, up near the zoo. They're like in a bar. They're like you walk in this like hole in the wall bar, and then the back wall looks almost like a pop up restaurant kind of thing with their kitchen and counter.
Okay.
And they're not open during the week during lunchtime. Like they're open in the evenings and the weekends all day. But they have the best burgers I have ever had.
There you go.
Wings are fantastic, and their onion rings are out of this world.
When I think back, probably my favorite burger was at the Rathskeller at Penn State, which is since closed, but that may have also done with copious amounts of beer. So
Bubba's down in Bridgeville.
Mm-hmm.
They're
good.
They're really good.
Yeah.
They're local. But I've had them twice.
Yeah, but I've
not been to Bubba's.
I like Five Guys.
Five Guys, 11 o'clock in the afternoon, 11 o'clock at night, it's fantastic.
Yeah. I just do like...
I know Walmart.
Like
Wendy's,
like...
Get out. Yeah, Wendy's not a good answer.
It's like saying, Taco Bell's best Mexican.
Yeah,
you gotta go big.
You're telling me you've never had a better burger than Wendy's?
Well, I
understand
like,
you may do Wendy's often.
Well, like I haven't tried. Like I haven't went to like a Five Guys, or I haven't went to like any of those smaller places.
Have you even gone to like a Red Robin or a Max and Irma's?
I have done Red Robin.
Max and Irma's is good.
I haven't had a burger at Max and Irma's.
So. I feel like I'm always like being judgy with Spencer, and I feel
you
bad.
It's
now.
Fine.
So you're telling me,
judge away,
you're telling me the
does.
Red Robin burger you may have had was not as good as the Wendy's burgers you've had.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, don't be so judgy, Dave.
Sorry, I can't see you. My eyes rolled back out
okay,
of my head.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
it's a burger.
It's
I mean,
been a few years since I had the Five Guys, but man, it is a cut above.
But even still, like even with my burger, I'm a very plain. Like I just.
I had the
cheese,
burger.
Just a smashed hoagie and you're happy.
I had the burger at Applebee's. It was really good. I don't know if it's Five Guys, but on a brioche bun, it tasted really good.
BG Burger is
BRGR?
BGR. Yeah. I've had Burgatory and was not pleased at all.
Overcooked fry. I'm here to admit, like, sometimes Burgatory is good, other times not so much. I actually work right next to a Burgatory, but I've yet to go because whenever I walk into work, it's always questionable, like, what I see, like, coming out from underneath their kitchen door, so. And then the building manager for our building, who was the manager, like, for the other buildings in the area, too, had said, like, their kitchen was not the cleanest kitchen in the area. I won't say what region I work in, so that way I'm not single out the particular, you know, Burgatory, but.
But some of your best burgers are your local bars.
Yeah.
Someone else's bar in Castle Shannon has good burgers.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah. I've only had the burger wrap, though, I should say.
I haven't had a wrap, but they have good wings there also. And they put candy on the tables.
Yeah.
It's always good.
Free appetizers almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should take the podcast down there.
Okay.
That's what you're doing. There you go. Sure. Yeah. I like it.
Okay.
He has good ideas. Yeah, he should join the podcast sooner.
Okay, we'll do that next week.
Okay. He's not going to be here. That
was why I said that. Okay, next. Although each issue of Spider-Man Hunted has been interesting, I feel that the story arc has really done nothing. Am I wrong on this?
This cover is oddly disturbing.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Is that Earthworm?
No, that's Jenny Frizzin.
Oh, Jenny Frizzin, okay.
I mean, I love, the cover's great. It's just oddly disturbing because you're like, she's just there standing all like nude, but I guess she's a cheetah. Like, my cat doesn't wear a shirt, so.
I think the story's been B average, B,
okay.
B plus mm-hmm. sometimes. The only thing, I don't know if Spencer agrees because he and I are both reading it, is the fill-in issues, the HU issues.
Oh, yeah.
We're a little suspect. We'll put in a couple of
Spider-Man.
No. But overall, I think it's leaning somewhere.
Or as Adam would say, Spitterman. Okay, number six. Assume for this exercise that I am a wealthy venture capitalist willing to give each of you $10 million to make a DC or Marvel television show or movie. What would you make? Also, would there be free bagels each morning?
Like for the crew? Or?
$10 million is not that much money.
No, that's true.
We're making just a pilot then, right? For
$10 million? Sure.
Okay.
Sure, a TV show pilot.
It's not that much money for a pilot.
Well,
you made up a number. It's DC. I will say, okay. I'll say a Justice League Dark television show.
I'd say a Moon Knight TV show.
Ah, God damn you.
And yes, there
was a good answer.
Thank you.
And I don't comment you often, especially on the podcast.
That's true.
Off
that
the
is
podcast,
very true.
Off the podcast, I'll say nice things to you, but on the podcast, I normally don't.
I appreciate it.
That was
it.
A good
you,
answer.
Josh.
Wow. You little golf clap.
Wow. Dave?
It'd be surprisingly low
spike?
Budget, too.
Yeah.
Man.
Is this for a TV show? Or
whatever you
whatever
want.
Whatever you want. Dealer's choice.
Oh, gee. That was... I thought $10 million was a lot of money. So
well, just ignore the money. If you could make a movie or TV show, what would you like to make?
Pretend they left a zero off there.
Yeah, just make it up.
And if I wanted to go big, if that's
yeah, you have
money.
An Avengers Endgame budget. Go.
You want to go big, Dave? You go big.
Nobody's going to stop you.
No one puts Davey Boy in a corner.
True. Very true.
Now I'm on the spot to come up with something good. And I can't
do you
want
to go to Mike and then come back to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Batgirl.
My concern with that, I would love to see it. Are you talking about movie or show?
Probably show.
My concern with that is it would probably end up being a CW show.
Yeah, that's true.
And then it would be done in a CW way, which but, I don't mind all the time, but then you get those episodes where it's still like, I'm going
to
talk and talk and talk and talk
like
and talk
to
and dramatic music playing.
Kind
and,
of a darker edge Batgirl, where she's solving the crime.
I would watch a Batgirl on the DC Universe app.
I want to watch where she's committing the crime. Oh,
I'm very curious how the Stargirl show is going to be.
I agree with you 100%. I agree. Yeah, if it was on the streaming,
Batgirl like Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
The question.
Nice.
Ooh.
Nice.
Good answer. That'll get canceled for a season, though.
I'd still enjoy watching it, though.
People be like, "I don't know what the question is."
What's the answer? You know, that's the first review.
Yeah. But it's stuff the same fate as like as Constantine, which was a tragedy because that was the one of those CW shows that I think was always fantastic.
Yeah,
that
was a Netflix.
No,
an NBC show.
Yeah, NBC.
Was it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And then it came
that
over
the
to
problem.
Be on the Arrow, and then
yeah,
on
that
Legends.
Was the problem. Is it was an NBC show.
Dave.
Yeah, I got it. I'm trying to think of what I really want to see, and I want to see...
Sugar and Spike.
I want to see Animal Man. I want to see Grant Morrison's Animal Man.
Manimal?
In a TV show.
So now, if you took off the Marvel DC, I think you'd go with Black Hammer. If they took off...
They're already doing that.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
I guess.
You could take my $10 million, put your $10 million,
yeah.
Make a better one.
We can combine, because I'm doing... Justly like Dark, you can come over to my hang with me. We got Swamp Thing, we got Zatanna. Come on.
Okay, that'll work.
Let's bond, Dave.
Okay, and the last question, and possibly the most serious and important question we've been asked.
Oh, and I also do bagels, or the bacon thing.
Okay. What's the best name for a dog? Professor Dog's Breath, Sir Wolf-a-Lot, or Captain Barkface?
Those are all really dumb names.
Yeah.
I hate those names.
I do. I'd go with Wolf's a lot.
Yeah, that, if I had those.
I refuse to pick one of those. Murdoch. Call the dog Murdoch. That's a solid name. I wasn't allowed to call our cat Murdoch.
Well, why do you want to name him Murdoch after...
A-Team.
Is it?
Could be A-Team. Could be MacGyver's foil. Richard Dean Anderson MacGyver. All those years. Options.
Okay.
It's not the same character?
In that in the
current, I never
the
watched
MacGyver.
I never. No, no. I'm saying the same Murdoch. I never watched MacGyver. So.
Oh no, Murdoch. It wasn't Hal and Mad Murdoch from the A Team.
Right.
I like him also. I'm saying the name.
I
the name you. Goes with good guy Hal and Mad Murdoch. Also Barkley on Star Trek: Next Generation, or it could be for Murdoch from.
Yeah, Murdoch.
Oh,
Matt Murdoch.
I thought that's why maybe you didn't like Marvel anymore is because your mom didn't let you name the cat at Murdoch and then tell you just.
Spencer, you misunderstood. This was my wife and daughter that shot me down.
Oh, okay. I thought you said your mom couldn't.
So now we have to ask
like when
them,
you were,
Josh,
okay.
What is the cat's name?
So I think this came up whenever we went and adopted Ezra. We ended up settling on Ezra because it's from a character from Star Wars Rebels. So Adele and I could agree on that. Like that was a joint name. The most recent cat we got, because we have two cats, his name is Cedar. Adele got to name that cat. I didn't get any input on that one.
It's rough.
But, yeah, whatever.
Murdoch sounds
Murdoch's much better. Yeah. But I think about Murdoch is probably more of a dog name than a cat name, so.
Yeah. I can see that. Okay. I can't think of any other news. There probably was something else and I blanked on it. I apologize.
It's mostly been like Tom King stuff I haven't seen.
Yeah. Yeah, can't think of anything else right off the top of my head. So, if nobody has anything else to talk about, we can dive into last week's books, which was a thin week. So, Spencer.
Shooting up in the sky. What's this? Tom King.
That's the
series.
Walmart books.
Oh. Yeah, and see, that's the Vengeance Batman one, too.
I see.
So you can see Lois get killed.
Yeah, I have zero interest in his books. Like, even when people were all up in arms about it, I was like,
oh, well, I ordered them for you. Sorry.
Well, those are extra ones you better have to hand sell.
Okay, fair enough. Spencer, which 12 books did you read last week?
I read Miles Morales, Spider-Man, number 6.
Best book ever?
Eh. It's all right. This one he continues to work with this female vulture kind of character that showed up at the end of the last issue. Who you find out is the is actually like the vulture's granddaughter. So that's where she kind of got the tech for the suit and stuff like that. And she has a big grudge against Tombstone. That's how her and Spider-Man ended up running into each other. is because they both showed up at one of his, like, hideouts, but he wasn't there, so, they kind of team up a little bit for the night, and there's, like, you know, they're kind of slightly, like, fucking with each other. It's just kind of, moving the story along. It's been an alright series. I have a problem with the arc, though. It's not that it's bad, but, like, it's everybody in, because they go to, like, this fancy, like, small school in Brooklyn, but, all these characters are kind of, like, are very, like, hipster dressed, like, really tight sweaters, and, like, the bull, like, the guy who's always picking on Miles is, like, I guess supposed to kind of be, like, his Flash Thompson is, like, has him, like, wearing, like, capri pants, like, and it's, like, how is somebody in capri pants gonna bully Spider-Man? I don't. But it's alright. It's definitely interesting seeing somebody taking over his main title with after Bendis has left to breathe more life into that character. And then The Flash 71, the second part of the year one storyline. So it picks up with Barry still in the future with his future self, and there's, like, this kind of cool conversation that, you know, that you have, that they always kind of do whenever a future person, like, a past person meets a future kind of guy, and he gets to lay of the land of with the, house the total is, like, taken over, and,
I just don't know how I feel about Barry, before he's even started his superhero career.
Seeing
this, you know, far future version of himself, and getting, like, all this information about, you know, his future and so with Iris or anything. I don't know. It's like, if I don't think about that aspect, it was an enjoyable issue.
Yeah.
I really liked it, but then when I thought about it, I was like, I don't know if I like this whole, like, idea that they're doing, but the issue itself is very enjoyable.
And then, like, when he finally gets back to his present time, he's, like, you know, he's contemplating, like, if he should even continue to try to, you know, and then he sees that the actor that I think is in his first run-in with the total is, like, about to do something to...
Did you like him? Did you like Turtle?
I did. I thought it was cool as heck.
That was for Colin. He was even paying
attention. Oh, I was. I heard what you said. I thought you were honestly asking.
I was honestly asking.
I had not read it.
I thought you would snicker.
Oh,
because
gotcha.
You liked the joke, and then you were just engrossed in your phone.
Sorry.
But,
I have it to read. I'm going to try to read it tonight, so I'm trying to try not to pay attention to hear what happens.
I hope you like Turtle.
Yeah. That's all. I like Turtle.
But it looks fabulous. Like, the art is so
great. Great.
Yeah, I love whenever Porter gets to draw the Flash. It's too awesome. And then that's it. The other thing I read, I'm sure other people read, so I'll let that go.
I read a bunch, so I'm going to do these quick.
Good. Right. No, don't go quick.
No.
You got time to kill.
Batgirl 35 was really fun.
I like that issue quite a bit.
There's a group she's battling. I should say she's captured. And
those, like, the underground...
There's the terrible trio. There's the shark, the fox, and...
The vulture.
Yeah. And then she kind of goes into battle against the shark, who kind of goes...
Which, are they just wearing masks, or is that
I think they're just masks.
Because at first they're masks, and I thought, maybe that's actually their heads.
That's what I thought.
At one point, you see shark, and it looks very much like when he has his mouth open, it looks like there's just, like, cloth there or something, so... Yeah.
But it was fun, it was cool. I've been enjoying Batgirl for a long time.
I like the stuff going on also with Gordon Clean Energy, and that side story
where she's
going
to have to push... Barbara out.
Possibly, if she does,
Which was really cool. This is the one I'm dumping, because Detective Comics 1004, the whole art in the story was just awful, bizarre, strange. Woman's pregnant in Arkham. Batarang kills her. Girl grows up, wants to take revenge on Batman. Joker helps raise the baby or something. I was just like, I don't enjoy this at all.
Yeah, it all feels very far-fetched even for a comic book.
It does.
At one point I tried to tell myself, like, well, because comics. But it's at a certain point, like, because comics doesn't work. But like, the Joker is, like, holding the baby up by his ankles, like, slapping it on the butt. And
the whole thing is, it's revenge plot because of the Batarang kills her mother. Why is she not smart enough to figure out who actually might have killed her? Yeah.
Well, she is, but that's her whole thing, is that she doesn't have a problem with Batman's war on crime, but she thinks he's careless. And that he is too focused on one thing and not as much, not enough on like the actual like impact of his actions. And I can see how that ties back to like he throws these batarangs around. And that's a good point because you see Batman in movies and the comics, he does like, you know, use all these gadgets and throw these things around. Like, what if some kid just like picks up this razor sharp bat shaped batarang?
But the biggest problem was the art didn't convey the story very well. It was just cluttered and all over the place, and I'm just like.
But this story itself just feels very like it's a very
out
almost
there?
Like cookie cutter revenge plot. And I still have issue with the fact that they took a video game villain and I mean they're reworking it, it's different, but still.
I think that might be in the back of my head and it just bothers me. But
I don't dislike it's not my favorite. I don't dislike it. I'm just very much in the middle of the road about it. So
and I usually like
I'm not dropping it, but
I'm gonna be dropping it, but I think I'm gonna pick up Flash because Flash is just really cool. Thanks, Spencer.
Yeah. How do you like the Spirit? Because I think not the Spirit, but the Spectre. Because I think he's supposed to show up in the next story arc. I think that's doing a Spectre.
Okay.
I think Mankey's back on it.
Then. Here's the thing. Like, I'll give. This is what his second arc on Detective, or is this his first arc?
Technically, he did that weird like trippy thing before the seventh issue.
Yeah, I haven't hated any of the arcs. Like, I like the arc before this one. So, one good arc, one okay arc. I'll see how the next one
But the
one
Flash
goes.
Has been so much
but
fun.
But
Flash wasn't. For a long while, Flash was starting to get kind of painful to read.
Thing, and he seems to be a lot more, you know,
he's more Barry Allen all of a sudden.
But reading that issue, Detective, every time I saw Batman's eyes, I thought of Oz. It's like he hates...
It looks like
he's gonna hate this page.
I'm like, no. I'm like, that's not how you draw it.
Yeah. And Robins don't look that bad for some reason, but Batman's they like stick out.
Yeah, definitely. And then I read Faithless too.
I didn't read that one yet.
Wow. I don't know what's going on. There's a lot of sex. There's.
Do you get the polybag cover?
No.
I'm interested. I didn't see what that one looked like.
No. It's Azzarello, so I'm.
Oh, yeah.
And Azzarello is kind of a off issue. Not much really going on, but the artwork was really wow. That's all I can say. Justice League Dark.
I read that.
Number 11 was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of like callbacks in this in this this issue, just to things that happened previously in this run and also in previous books, but. Yeah, while
the deal they made with
Mordru
was just really cool. I never
so yeah, like Zatanna and Wonder Woman are trying to seek out, you know, this super powerful, you know, magician or you know, magic wielder, and they find that you know Mordru's been kind of hiding out in this like bar that's been kind of cloaked in magic inside the Hall of Justice. And they go there to try to see if he'll help them out. And he doesn't seem like he is afraid of what's coming at all, or it doesn't seem like he thinks that what you know, the Dr. Fates and the other kind can actually do anything to harm him. That whenever everyone else is you know long since gone, he'll still be there.
Yeah,
like,
he's just
the
willing.
Universe
he, yeah,
fears
he's just
him.
Willing to help him. You know,
and doesn't even like seem like he helps him. Is it, you know, in order to want to help him, just seems like he does almost like a show of, like, you know, his power. So, gives them the power they need to stop this threat, which transforms Wonder Woman and Zatanna into Lords of Chaos.
Yeah, was it the ending page?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, this is cool.
And at the same time, then the other, like, group with, you know, Detective Chimp and Swamp Thing and all of them are dealing with the... deal that the, you know, Dr. Fates have tried to, you know, give them where if all these magic, you know, wielders choose to give up their powers, they don't let them live. And you can find this inside and they're trying to, you know, just run from this and as Mira is gone, and Myro, however you say it.
Yeah.
All the inhabitants that were, you know, they were trying to protect start just disappearing into the ether. And then finally, you know, who's the old guy, by the way, that said, like, we'll take the, you know, we choose to live, whatever. But but as they're trying to figure out how they're going to continue fighting this, then someone, you know, steps up and says, no, we choose to live. We'll give up the powers we have.
I also read Mary Shelley Monsunder, too.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Continues to tell the backstory.
Yeah,
of
I don't
how
think I took that
she
home.
wrote her book. And kind of gets to the end of, like, oh, she meets a real-time person doing Frankenstein-like experiments, mm-hmm. which has really been cool. This was probably the best book I read all week, and Colin mentioned it in his top 18 or 21 or whatever, called Road to Bones.
Well, last week it was much less, but
yeah.
Yep, yeah, I read that. I read that same copy, actually.
And it's basically, the premise is you have these prisoners into a Russian prisoner camp.
Gulag.
It's
set in, like, in the 40s, 50s, because the guy was there because he offended Stalin.
Yeah, and then you get another, 25 years for making a joke about him or something like that. And you're like, where's this going? Then they escape, and it kind of goes off.
But he had been leaving food for this mythical beast,
yes.
like a loaf of bread where they're all starving, but he kept leaving because it was like their protector.
And it goes from prison.
And it was like just a, you know,
into
myth
like a,
type
to,
thing.
To a horror comic. And it was very well written.
Yeah,
like,
they escape and they're on the road. How are they
going
to, you know, eat and stuff like that? And then this mythical beast shows up and to thank him for feeding him. So
yeah, that was probably my favorite book. That
yeah, that was that was pretty cool.
Yeah. That's it for me.
Avengers, number 19. This is a War of the Realms tie-in. The Siege of Avengers Mountain. As Doctor Strange has transported thousands of New Yorkers to Avengers Mountain because the Frost Giants are invading New York City. But the issue focuses on Gorilla Man. Of all people.
Okay.
From his point of view, because it starts with Gorilla Man in at the Wundagore Zoo talking with Ursa Major from the Winter Guard. Ursa Major now seems to be a double agent who's reporting on the Winter Guard's duties, what they're doing to Gorilla Man, and what's going on with Dracula over in Russia, who was in the last few issues. And so Gorilla Man's the head of security for Avengers Mountain, so he has to get the mountain ready for the Frost Giants who are coming. And he kind of has this experience where, because they're in a celestial, where he, like, sees God, and he has a awakening, and now he feels like he's serving Dracula, so he has this total mind-bent situation, so... It was a good issue. I don't know how great it is to have an issue of the Avengers focused on Gorilla Man, but it was a fun issue. Next, Dowies for Hero, number 3.
Okay,
it's a really I'm really enjoying.
It's been
this
fun.
It's
I enjoyed the first
fun.
Two. I haven't watched that. Read that one yet.
Yeah, in this issue, there, Miguel and Summer are in Central City, and they're trying to get the attention of the Flash, so he can help them find the H style. So they, like, rob a convenience store, hoping that
it's always
the Flash,
a good plan.
Yeah, hoping that the Flash will show up, but he doesn't. And then, you know, there's an art change, and the, you know, Central City becomes like this late 80s, early 90s vertigo aesthetic. And there's a villain, the Bluebird of Happiness, and there's like a cover page with the Bluebird of Happiness's logo that looks like the Grant Morrison Doom Patrol logo.
Okay.
And then the art is like that Peter Milligan Shade the Changing Man or something like that, the weird vertigo stuff. And Robbie Reed shows up in this issue too. There's a flashback to him. He was the original owner of the H style. And he has, I won't say, I won't give this away, but he has an integral part in the series now. So it's been a lot of fun. This is by Sam Humphries, Joe Quinones. Star Wars, Age of Rebellion, Jabba the Hutt.
Fan favorite.
This story is about two traders or smugglers, and they find out about a beverage called Tuscan wine. That it's like a, I guess, an alcoholic beverage that the Tuscan raiders, that the sand people make on Tatooine, and they find out it's worth a lot of money. So they go to Tatooine to go in front of Jabba the Hutt, because everything goes through Jabba on Tatooine, to try to buy some from him, to make some money. But Jabba won't sell it to them, but he does give them information on where they can get it.
Is this a one shot or?
It's a one shot.
Okay. When does it take place?
Not really sure. Probably before Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Before he dies or Return of the Jedi, but it doesn't really like nail down the time frame that much. But it's Jabba tells him where to get this Tusken wind, and the story's about, you know, Jabba manipulating all these people to get what he wants, and all these rebellion one shots written by Greg Pak, and they're just some of the best Star Wars stories I've read lately, especially that Grand Moff Tarkin one. And I've read something different. I read that the Clue, first issue of the new Clue miniseries.
Based on the board game?
Based on the board game.
Wow. This is the second series they've done, I think.
Yeah, it's the second miniseries.
I remember it coming out, but I wasn't sure if it was based off of the game. That's cool.
Yeah. It's really experimental. And I don't even know if it's to my taste. But,
is it a mini?
It's a miniseries, yeah. The
art is terrible.
The art, yeah. The art's very static.
Who puts it out?
It's IDW.
Clue Candlestick.
Yeah, Clue Candlestick it's called. It's about...
Here, Mike. Yeah. I had to look because they were talking about it earlier, and I meant to go look at it.
But it's interesting.
You're just a hater. Ding dong, that's fine.
It's about Professor Plum gets a message that, a coded message from Mr. Body that Mr. Body's afraid for his life and he wants to give his possessions to people he trusts. And the knife is Jack the Ripper's knife.
It almost looks like it's a fanzine kind of style.
It's really real.
College amateurish.
Yeah.
No offense.
I mean, the guy, the writer and artist, he's a small press guy.
Yeah, it's definitely small press. That's
yeah.
Good.
And this Mr. Body, you know, wants to give his possessions away, and then when they're all meeting in the house, Colonel Mustard is shot and killed.
Somebody's got to die.
And like,
now when you get the next issue?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Well, you have to know to find out the mystery, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. We'll see. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Okay, Josh? Want me to go? I can go. Okay, last stop on the red line. You relax. Last Stop on the Red Line is a new one from Dark Horse. It's like a murder mystery supernatural thing. It was very confusing. I think it was supposed to be you don't understand what's going on with this kind of homeless guy. Mentions an injury, and he can't remember things before the injury, and it's just kind of weird. Something is murdering people on this subway train. And then as soon as the person's murdered, you see, like, something going on with this homeless guy, like some supernatural thing. And then it goes into real life. It was confusing.
Who's writing that?
I don't remember. Yeah, not a name that I recognized. Yeah. So, not bad. I might try number two just to see where this is going, see if it makes a little bit more sense. And then Blessed Machine. This is from Cave Pictures Comics. One of the funny things from Vegas was that there were two new publishers there, both of which had Cave in their title. The other one was Mad Cave. I'm like, is Cave the new hot word for the name of a comic book company? I don't get it, but sure. But this one is neat. The premise is there was a accident at an electron collider that destroyed the atmosphere. The people had to live underground. They created this AI to automate everything for them so that they could live their lives. And then it turns out they've been down there a lot longer than they should have been, because these people found this document saying that after like 70 years they should be able to move back up, but they've been down there for hundreds of years. So this group of people decides to try to find out what's going on. The AI has started to turn against people. So this small group, they've now found a way to get outside. So that's this whole episode is sending a search team to see if they can get outside, see if it's livable. So they start doing it. The robots are coming after them. They're having to stop them. But the one girl does get outside and comes back and says she met a little girl. There's cities up there. They had no idea there are people living underground. And she comes back with grass. So, and that's basically how it ends. So, it was neat. I'm really kind of fascinated by this. It's a neat little sci-fi story. The art's good. You know, everything about it is solid. It's a neat little book. So I'm really enjoying it. I love finding these little weird things just to try, and I've liked this one a lot. So that's all I got.
Incursion number 4. So this wraps up the Incursion miniseries with Valiant. So, Eternal Warrior gets back from the dead side with this cure for Tama, the geomancer, who is suffering from this, you know, plague that was brought on her by almost like her opposite, this young girl who has control of like necromantic, you know, powers. So while he is, you know, trying to take care of her, Dr. Mirage is holding off the force of this Imperatrix Virago. The woman who kind of like uses these, harvests these necrotic energies to you know, power herself or make herself, you know, more youthful. And as he's about to try and cure Tama, then Dr. Mirage's husband, who is, you know, in the afterlife but still able to interact in the real world as well, is trying to warn him that he can't heal the like this geomancer with necromantic, you know, magic. And he can see this, you know, carrion blossom for, you know, what it actually is. And it looks almost like this worm kind of thing. But Galad does it anyways because he doesn't think that he's a choice. And looks like what? What's his face for?
No, the face is where I got an email from Amazon with a recommendation for you. A Disney disguised men's full body Kermit costume. And I'm sitting there going,
up to these
What in the world are you doing these days?
What are you doing?
So I'm like, why is this a recommendation? That was the reason for the face was what the hell? No, that was the reason for the face. Sorry. Not trying to interrupt. I apologize.
So he heals her, then rushes off to help Dr. Mirage in the battle, and the battle's not going great for him. Like he's holding his own, but he's also getting pretty jacked up. And at this point, like, his hand has been cut off. Like he looks like he is about to be visiting his afterlife again for a you know, short recharge and coming back. But as he is trying to hold her off, suddenly Tama emerges and she seems better. But she seems much more powerful than she has been in the past. To the point where, like later on in the book, Galad even says that he, you know, worries that she won't even need him anymore as a like protector because her abilities are so powerful. And she unleashes like the full force of the geomancer and the planet onto you know, these invading forces, and is right on the cusp of like taking this woman's life, the one like this conqueror, and is kind of, you know, looks like she's about to do it, but you could tell she's also starting to waver a little bit. Single Law jumps in and stabs the woman, so that way she wouldn't have to kill her. But yeah, it's set up like some interesting things where it looks like, you know, Tama's abilities have escalated, but also there could be some consequences because of how he cured her in the future, and also whether he'll actually be, you know, fully needed. But it's neat. I hope things kind of set up in here and maybe continue over in that Dr. Mirage book a little bit as well. But it was nice seeing a miniseries where Galad had to kind of do his job, and we didn't end up having to pick a new Geomancer at the end of it. So,
wow!
Success.
Miracle.
Great success.
Congratulations, Galad.
Silencer number 17.
Yeah, I heard you telling Tim you really hated this book.
Yeah, it was garbage fire. Dumpster fire. No, this book's great. What are you doing? Telling lies in the podcast.
Sorry.
Podcast is only for true things, Colin.
My Apple address.
This is, I believe, the penultimate issue of Silencer, right? It ends at 18, I believe.
Mr. Big Words.
Does that sound right? Yeah.
Sounds about right.
So, in the previous issue, she kind of discovered her, like, half-sister kind of smoke, and Talia sent her to eradicate smoke, and Smoke decides, like, Smoke's very jealous of the life that Honor kind of lived where she when she wasn't functioning as a you know as hired assassin, and decides that she's gonna go after Honor's family for herself. So Honor's family thinks that she's dead, so she has to try and stop her without like kind of you know tipping her hat that she's you know, who she actually is. So she bursts in there and is trying to get her, you know, husband and son to run, to take off, but it ends up being too late. Smoke shows up, and Honor ends up having to, you know, kill Smoke. And in the previous issue, you could tell she was definitely conflicted about this because she also, like, has been through the same things that Smoke has been through now. Like, she got out of it and made a life for herself, so she, you know, was on the better end of it for a while. But she definitely doesn't, you know, see Smoke as, like, this straight-up villain like everyone else might see her as. She's more like a troubled, you know, victim of the circumstances. But to save her family, she ends up killing her. And then now that she knows that, you know, Talia realizes that she, like, her memories weren't wiped, she's not as, you know, loyal as Talia would have liked. She thinks that Talia will just come after her family because the whole reason why she left them, faked her death, and went to Talia is just to kind of protect them. So she calls in a favor with those guys at work, like that, almost like the commissary for the you know criminal underworld. They have all like the weapons and whatnot. She calls in a favor with those guys, and they you know pretend like they're you know government agents, and that they had to kind of hide Honor because she saw something. She's almost like a witness protection they're playing it off as, and then she shows up at the end of this issue as herself. To you know, rejoin her husband and son, with the idea that she can, now that her cover is blown with Talia, that she can just go back to them, and that's the best way she can kind of defend them is if she's, you know, there again, since she knows that the Talia will be coming after them. Yeah, it was good. I'm excited to see this book ending with 18, but like Tim was saying, I hope these characters and these books will kind of show up in other DC books. In the future.
Why are they ending all of them?
I just think sales weren't great.
Yeah, they built this up as, like, this big, you know, initiative for bold, you know, creative teams and a big focus on the artists. And it felt very much like kind of, a, you know, sticking to Marvel a little bit because with Marvel's, you know, not moving the needle thing. And it was great. Like, then they had some, like, you know, big artists on it and did some cool things, but I just don't think many people jumped onto these unknown.
I think their flagship book shipped late, and you know the Immortal Men that was going to have Jim Lee that didn't have Jim Lee.
Yeah, that was. And even
New Challengers was supposed to be Snyder, but then it wasn't Snyder. So I think there were just a lot of missteps in it.
Yeah,
I tried all of those. I tried Silencer and Damage, and it just kind of. Just lost interest in, like, most of them.
See, Silencer was the one that I had zero interest in and then decided to check out and loved it. I just thought it kept getting better and better.
Once, I think it was, like, three or four in, they changed, like, creative team, artist or something, and it was just like, eh.
Romita was on it a while, and then Romita left. And someone else. But I think all those books just had the artist on for, like, an arc, and then a new artist came on. That's it.
Anything else? Okay.
I did remember one other thing I read. I finished that TKO book that I got, Goodbye Paradise. It was pretty interesting. It was like a hobo motor mystery. Where, like, this, Eddie's the main character, and he's, like, been living on, like, it takes place on the beach, like, in, over in California, and, like, he's been there for, like, years, and, but he's still able to kind of communicate with his, like, estranged son, but he goes onto the library to get onto, like, Facebook or whatever to message him, and his son's coming over to visit for, like, checking out schools and wanted to try to meet up with him and stuff. And one of the newer homeless girls that was only there for, like, a few weeks, she ends up, like, getting murdered, and it's, like, him just trying to figure it out, and then with him also having, like, some kind of form of schizophrenia, like, it's, like, things that he sees as he really, he doesn't know if he's really seeing them or if he's just, and he's always drunk, and he... It's like a very good, like, character piece, and it's like, with all the other, like, homeless people there, you just get, like, these kind of cool, like, weird kind of characters, but I liked it. I thought it was pretty enjoyable.
Who was the writer?
Josh, who was the guy who did the, like, the Harbinger stuff back in the early Valiant?
With the Valiant, like, with the initial relaunch?
Yeah.
Venditti?
No,
are you talking about Fred Van Lente?
No, I thought he did the,
Wait, Harbinger?
Yeah.
Harbinger, oh, sorry, I thought you said EXO. Josh Dysart.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, okay. The artwork looked very cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's it. That's all.
Okay. So next week, first, getting into June, starting off Batman 72. Betty Page Unbound, a new Betty Page series. Black Cat, this is the one with the two covers, one by Campbell, one by Art Germ. So, you know, big one, spinning out of Spider-Man. Book of the Week, Dave, I think Dave will join me on this. I tweeted about it and got lots of good responses. Captain Ginger, trade paperback, volume one next week.
How many copies did you order?
I have 7 copies, which normally I order one or two.
Do you have him talk about Captain Ginger?
Really?
Captain Ginger.
Oh, man.
Is that like a drunk
Irishman?
That
means he wasn't a podcast listener before he joined.
Captain Ginger was the book of 2018.
I've never heard of it. Who puts it out?
Ahoy.
Maybe.
Story of
You've
cats.
Not heard of Ahoy either?
No.
Oh.
I think we didn't have a long episode.
Well, you two have clearly failed in your duties of promoting this.
You're right. Well, we'll make you buy Captain Ginger. It's the story of a spaceship that's run by cats because the humans have all died and they've had to learn how to fly this ship. They refer to the humans as feeders.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Sure. Right. It was awesome. I'm not a cat person either. I understand. I am not a cat person either.
Just so you know, it's probably going to be a book club book.
It is probably going to be a book club book
in
the future.
Sick of that.
It was so good.
And Watch your son love that book.
I can't wait for the next season. Yep. No. Oh, that last page. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really good book.
It's really good.
I'm so excited. Just listening.
Good. I'm glad. Captain Marvel is tying into War of the Realms. Deceased number 2 is next week. Deadpool is tying into War of the Realms. Die graphic novel is out. This one I have a bunch coming too. This is the Karen Gillan Dungeons and Dragons book that has been selling fantastic. It's a $9.99, one of the Image ones. Fallen World number 2 for Josh. Green Lantern number 8, the Morrison one. Guardians of the Galaxy Annual. Ignited number 1, this is the first one from Mark Waid's run on Humanoids. Incredible Hulk Last Call. This is reuniting Peter David and Dale Kwan. Justice League Dark is a Year of the Villain book. Mechanica Sangre. I've had a ton of people ask for this one. Red Sonja number 5 for Josh. Make sure I get you a good cover. The cosplay cover?
No, the cover that doesn't look like it's the cover for...
The Linsner cover, then. Okay, good.
An Easy Rider magazine.
Ronin Island number 4 for Pat. Savage Avengers number 2 along with the second credit number 1. That one sold really, really well. Shazam number 6. Star Wars, I'm getting the Jabba the Hutt replacements. All my shelf copies were damaged, but I'm getting the replacements next week. And we're getting Luke Skywalker, everybody's favorite. Thumbs number 1. I'll come back to this one. Tony Stark Iron Man is a War of the Realms
tie-in. Uncanny X-Men 19, that's wrapping up. Walking Dead 192, something very, 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 very big is supposed to happen in this issue, so we'll find out. And then War of the Realms 5 is also a War of the Realms tie-in. Hmm. Oh. Thumbs number one. This is from Image. And this is the first book for what is called the Comics Omnivore program. This was started by Phil Boyle of Coliseum of Comics down in Orlando. I think like five stores down in Florida or something. He wrote a big kind of essay about to publishers saying what we need to have happen. He came to the Comics Pro meeting and gave a presentation that was really good. And he decided to start this program a little more for retailers working with publishers. So the idea behind this is that they're going to pick, he and his group are going to pick one book a month working with the publishers that they are going to promote as a comic omnivore book. Omnivore basically meaning try everything. You know, eat a little bit of everything, not just be one specific thing. So the very first book is Thumbs. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure what it's about. But I need to go back and relook at the solicits and stuff. It's not about cats, I don't think. It's a really good book. But
with no thumbs.
With Thumbs, for basically, it's to try to entice people to do stuff, to get the book. We'll be offering it for the first week for a dollar off. It's a $4.99 book, so it'll be $3.99 for the first week to try to get people to try different things. The benefit to us, what the publisher doing is they're offering returnability so that we order up and try to get the ball rolling on some stuff. The second one is going to be the new Usagi Yojimbo from IDW. So it's just a way to try to get some excitement, try to boost some stuff to get stores and publishers working together. So I did join the program. So this is going to be the first book in that.
Who's ready?
That run. I don't know. It's an Image book. I'm not sure. Okay. I'm doing the TV show on Friday, and that's when I go back and go back through the previews. So, yeah, you can look it up. You should have issue 3 should be in there. It's Image, so it'll be right at the front.
When do you, Yojimbo come out? Is that?
That'll be the next month. That'll be that should be July. It'll be further back because it's going to be issue 3.
Sean Lewis.
Yeah, so writer, people I don't really
Hayden
know.
Sherman. Thumb's sister is brought face to face with the man she blames for destroying her family, while Thumbs witnesses the sacrifices the revolutionaries will make.
That's number 3. You might be giving away things in number 1. Oh, but just say science fiction dystopian. So, yeah. So. But so that's next week. So that was just a neat little program that's finally getting started. So I think that's it. Book club is Friday. We're doing Snagglepuss. And this is also the last week for the Star Wars month. I'm not sure what I'm doing next month. I will consult with Timothy about that. And that's all we got. As always, you can find me at the store. Facebook, your website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram is PGH Comics. So I think that's all we got. Josh!
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.